And in the last days, during the tribulation period, who is in control? Who is it? Huh? The Antichrist. And who is his mistress?
Religious systems.
Big business. Which is also the religious leaders. Think about it. We've never, everything in the world tonight is going that way right now. Everything is set up. It's just going, and so many religious people are just falling for a lot of this stuff. But I want to read you a little story. It's just a funny thing. Katie and I both sent this thing to me. It's called Ordering Pizza. Had any of you ever heard this thing, Ordering Pizza? In 2008. I don't think we're going to make it that far.
I don't think so.
I think things can happen. Thank you for calling Pizza Hut. May I have your national ID number? Have you heard this, Brother Gray?
No.
Hi, I'd like to place an order. Operator, may I have your NIDN first, sir? My customer. My national ID number, yeah, it's 610-204-9998-45-54610. Operator, thank you, Mr. Sheehan. I see you live at 1742 Meadow Land Drive, and the phone number is 494-2366. Your office number over at Lincoln Insurance is 745-2302, and your cell number is 266-2566. Which number are you calling from, sir? Customer, I'm home. Where did you get all this information? We're wired into the system, sir. Customer side, I'd like to order a couple of your all-meat special pizzas. Operator, I don't think that's a good idea, sir. What do you mean? Operator? Sir, your medical records indicate that you've got very high blood pressure and extremely high cholesterol. Your national health care provider won't allow such an unhealthy choice.
You got the baby.
And then he gets excited here and he says, what do you recommend then? Aubrey, you might try our low-fat soybean pizza. I'm sure you'll like it. Customer, what makes you think I'd like something like that? Operator, well, you checked out gourmet soybean recipes from your local library last week, sir. That's why I made the suggestion. Customer, all right. Give me two family-sized ones then. Operator, that should be plenty for you and your wife and your four kids, sir. Your total is $49.99. Customer, let me give you my credit card number. Operator, I'm sorry, sir. I'm afraid you'll have to pay in cash. Your credit card balance is over its limit. You know, we're studying eschatology. I'll run over to the ATM and get some cash before your driver gets here. Operator, that won't work either, sir. Your checking account's overdrawn. Never mind. Just send the pieces. I'll have the cash ready. How long will it take? Oh, we're running a little behind, sir. It'll be about 45 minutes, sir. If you're in a hurry, you might want to pick them up while you're out getting cash, but carrying pizzas on a motorcycle can be a little awkward. How do you know that I'm riding a bike? Operator, it says that you're behind in your car payments and your car got repoed, but your Harley's paid up. And the customer, he says all these bad words. Operator, I advise you to watch your language, sir. You've already got a July 2006 conviction for cussing out a cop. Customer speechless. Will there be anything else, sir? Yes. I have a coupon for two-liter of Coke. Operator, I'm sorry, sir, but our ask exclusionary clause prevents us from offering free soda to diabetics. Now, that sounds real funny and kind of out of the way, but we are there.
Yeah.
And that's what it's going to be like. Well, I listen to the news and I don't say much about it. I listen to it usually over ham radio operators and stuff, I tell them I never watch TV or listen to the news much because I figure I'm if it's important, I'm going to hear it over ham radio. Somebody's going to say something about it. But every now and then I'm going to and from church or wherever else, I listen to the news radio a little bit. But it says in the book of Revelation that during the tribulation period, and 1st and 2nd Thessalonians has got a lot to do with eschatology, it says in the tribulation period that a man will work all day long for just enough to feed himself. That's all. Nothing extra. Nothing. There will be no luxuries during that period of time. Nothing else. Our society is trying to bring all the wages down to the bottom. Smoother off down there. Trying to move the middle class down to the lower class. That's what the whole scheme is. But what does the book of Revelation say? It says that's what's going to happen. Just set back and just watch, because there, here she comes. How far will be? Well, during the tribulation period, which is the last 7 years that mankind is going to be running to and fro on the earth, this is all be set in place, but it takes time to get you there. And that's where it's going. We see this.
We have the technology to do it.
We have all the technology to do exactly what we heard tonight on this little thing. It's hilarious. It's a little joke, but the technology is there. It's in place. Society is being led that way. The Bible says that these people will get up, these wonderful speakers will get up and make you think that they're going the right direction. But all the time, it's like that one old science fiction movie that they had on TV where these guys came, the outer space guys came to America and was telling everybody how to live right and everything else and how they're going to do it. And they were taking a bunch of them to the other galaxies. And they gave them all these handouts and everything. And they finally translated them, and it was a menu how they were going to cook these people. Yeah. Invite you to dinner. Your dinner. Your dinner. Well, let's look and see what Paul has to say about things. Paul, here in these verses, is defending himself in verses 2, 5 through 9. And it says, Ute,
Jar,
Ote,
M,
Logo,
Ale,
Chaos,
Eg,
Ne, Senat, Main.
Let's
do that one. Eg, N,
Ne,
Amen. All right.
Kapos.
Oidate.
Oidate.
Ute.
Ute.
And. Profese.
Profese.
Pleonexios.
Pleonexios.
Theos.
Theos.
Marquis.
Marquis.
Let's go back and look at it. There's a lot of stuff up here. We talked about the last few weeks about how that the Apostle Paul was saying that he wasn't like the other street preachers. There were a lot of street preachers back that day. But, we call them street preachers today. There's a lot of people out preaching. All you have to do is turn the television on, and you're going to have people preaching and telling you giving you every kind of a con job that you can think of on how to send money to them. How many of you ever heard of Jim and Tammy Baker? It's chuckle those.
She bought
well, you know, what was the bad about their life? What was the bad about their life? You know, he got mixed up with a bunch of wild women and everything, and that just absolutely tore the church up. But that wasn't the sins he committed in his life. Those were very minor compared to what he did wrong. Why did he go to prison? It wasn't over immorality, was it? Not sexual immorality. Why did he go to prison?
Fraud.
He was a con. A major con. And he had air-conditioned houses for his dogs. And all this fancy stuff. And building villages for people to come and live and everything. And of course, then we've got Oral Roberts back there building a hospital, and he says he's got the power of healing. I don't know why he built a hospital if he can heal all these people. It wouldn't make any sense at all. But he did this. And he said one time that he saw Jesus and he was 900 feet tall. He said, I saw him. He's 900 feet tall. And he told me if people didn't send him $3 million or some ungodly mess, wasn't going to kill him. That God was going to kill him. That would have been a good way to get rid of him. Except that he was lying both times. Well, God reveals to us in His Word all kinds of things about human nature. Human nature is greedy. And we're going to see something about that in this verse here. Human nature. You know, laws are created to keep people honest. You know that? Laws were created to keep people honest. 100 years ago, there was a president called, what was his name 100 years ago?
Who was it? 1900.
Roosevelt, that's right. Theodore Roosevelt. Theodore Roosevelt was quite a guy. He was a soldier, and he was kind of an egotist in a lot of ways. But one thing about Theodore Roosevelt, he was extremely honest. He was a idealist. He believed in doing things right. He read a book that a man wrote, and when he first read the book, he didn't believe what he read. It was called In the Jungle. The Jungle. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Political science. Okay? He read a book called Jungle. And this book called Jungle, he talked about the Chicago slaughterhouses and different places, the big slaughterhouses. You remember what I'm talking about now? You studied church. You studied history. And yeah, this guy was, and he wrote this novel, except it was real. It was really happening. And he wrote this novel, and Roosevelt got a copy of it, and he read it. He said, I can't believe this. I can't believe how powerful these people are in American society, how these big corporations are just thrashing the American people. And the slaughterhouses, they were so filthy that it was just inhumane what they were doing to the animals. And filthy how they were preparing the meat and stuff. It was just horrible. And he had the same research. He sent some people out to research, and guess what he found out? The guy was right. Then we had a series. First of all, the first thing he did was pass laws to take care of the Food and Drug Administration. They go out, have the FDA approve everything. They went in and they checked these laws. I said, boy, they were just, oh man, what a mess. Not only that, but he found out that big business, you couldn't trust them to allow. They're going to keep the poor as they can. They're going to keep as much as they can. So he put in the Antitrust Act, and he turned things around for a long time. Boy, that little book really enlightened a leader. But you know what happened to that leader? They got rid of him. Didn't they? They got rid of him. They got rid of him. But I guarantee you, it's taken 100 years for them to cover that ground. What he did. It's taken them 100 years to do that. But you know, the Bible says that was going to happen. You cannot stop sin. A little bit you can now and then. But we see a picture, we're looking at a grave just kind of like God does. You know, God gave us a look into the end time. God gave us a look into the end time. And we got some indicators. What is one of the number one indicators that you can tell of in the end times when all this is going to happen?
Wars
and rumors of war, yes. What? Israel's back in the land. Indicators. And what else? Okay. Well, there's going to be famine in places in the world.
Natural catastrophe.
All this is, we don't really see a lot of that right now, but we see it The what is the most important thing? Religion lines up with big business. And the religious leader is also the one that's heading the economy. The book of Revelation calls them the great whore of Babylon. But this is exactly what, and we will see this. Now let's look at some of the basic things in this. We're going to see it. It's going to go on. Even the 2 Thessalonians, it gets more. But Paul tells us about human nature here. And he has been accused of being one of these soapbox street con job artists. And he said, I'm not. He said, who they neither, nor for neither them. Well, he uses a lot of little words here. In word of flattery. He said, I didn't get out and tell people what they wanted to hear. I was not a rhetorician. I wasn't a rhetoric. I didn't get up and speak to make people tell people what they want to hear. You know, when somebody starts telling you how handsome you are, or how pretty you are, and how smart you are, and how you're a wonderful person, but you know, they can really tell you how to make money with your money. If you just do this, if you'll just do this, watch out. Watch out. He said, not in word of flattery. Not a con job. I'm not a... We weren't flattering you. What does the... This comes from the word... It's an old Epicurean word. You know the Epicurean? It says like that, you're a dirty rat. They say you're an Epicurean. you're a slime ball. You're an Epicurean. Now, that's the Epicurean word here, this word kolakios. A flatterer. Someone that tells you what you want to hear. Comes into your life telling you all kinds of stories. And all of a sudden you find out that's not the right person. And then it says, not, we didn't come to you in this way, not like the rest of the world is, because there's plenty of these guys out there. He said, and then the word is agonistemen. Agonistemen. Not we were called to become in your presence. We didn't come to you this way. We never were that way. We never have been that way, nor will we ever become that way. And then he says, just as, Compos, just as ye have fully known, have thoroughly known, nor in, and then we're having the word prothese. Now what is a prothese? This the word prophet comes from this in a different sense. But this is using the word in a different way.
Pretext.
What?
Pretext.
Pretext. Or pretense. They're pretending. Pretending. To they're telling you how smart they are. I had a guy one time come up to me when I was a young boy. And I was on my own when I was really young. And this guy had a brand new car and everything else. He's telling me how I can have all this kind of stuff. I just go and do what it is. He was a wonderful salesman. And all this year, he paid in. He bought that car cash this year, the 1964 Mustang. And everything, he was telling me all how that, you know, I could just make a lot of money if I just listened to him. And go out. Well, you know what? That was a snow job. But that guy, you know, later on, they almost arrested all that bunch of people. For a scam. I got mixed up in it for a while. Got out of it by the grace of God. Not for, we're in 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 5 again. Pretense. It means to show off. Things to brag on yourself. We didn't come bragging on ourselves. And then the word pleonexios. This is an unusual word. Pleon, that means to fail. And we have pleon and echo here. Now we've studied this word before. You remember, young lady, you remember about this word? this is the one you need to write this down for your husband to have this one later, all right? You need to write this. This is a very important word, brother. I want you to write this down and go out there. That means to sail around and echo, to grab. We didn't come up with flattery words. We didn't come up with big, fancy, overwhelming speech to sweep you off your feet. And we didn't come around trying to in greediness. How many of you know what a glutton is? Huh? What's a glutton?
When it overdoes anything, either food or...
No, it's not only food, is it?
It's ways of life.
A glutton is someone that can't get enough of anything. They got to have more and more and more. That's what this word here is. This is gluttony. This is when you say gluttony to begin with, you think about somebody that goes out and eats five dinners in a row, or buys five big packages of chocolate covered peanuts or something like that, and sits down and just eats one right after another, just can't get enough. People that just eat like there's no tomorrow. Hungry, 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 hungry. But you know what? That's only one thing. That's only a physical aspect of something that's going on mentally. Gluttony. A same type of glutton like that will have a house full of stuff. Just everything's just blown full of. Why? Because that's gluttony. How much can you use? How much stuff can you use? How much money can you use? Now we're talking about, we're going from food and we're going to things. Now how much money? We just, Roger and Phil just did a series of sermons on tithing and everything else and told people how money was not good for them. Can money ruin you? Can love of money ruin you? How some of the most mentally ill and perverted and twisted people in this world are rich. You know that? I mean, I didn't want.
Howard Hughes.
Yeah, Howard Hughes. Look how sick he was. One of the richest people in the world. Sick man. J. Paul Getty. Donald Trump. And people want to be like him? They want to be like that? That's kind of weird. And Christians, that's not Christianity, is it? It's not Christianity. You can be good stewards of what you have. And it's not sinful to have things. But when you put it above God and above your fellow man, then it's sick. That's gluttony. Grabbing and grabbing and grabbing more and more and more, having more just to have more. You have a baker? Can't be baker. Or are they gluttons? Or are they gluttons? Yeah. Do you see that out on television? You turn, all you have to do is turn it on. Gluttony. And then it says Theos Martis. The word martyr comes from that word there, Martis. God is our witness. God calls God to be his witness. Or Paul calls God to be his witness. He's calling God to be his witness. He said, I call God to be my witness. That's not why I'm here. Now in the next few verses, we've got some problems. How many of you know what Texas Stephanus is? Know what Texas Stephanus is, Brother Jim? Texas Stephanus, Stevens, Texas. Alright. How many of the Latin Vulgate?
Yeah.
Alright. Jerome translated, he took a whole bunch of helter-skelter Greek manuscripts and translated them into the Latin Vulgate, and then the Catholic Church canonized them and said, this is the Word of God. Well, Jerome, when he did that, he said, this isn't really very accurate. Because I didn't try to be accurate. I wanted to get it in the Latin. Why did the Catholic Church, why did they translate the scriptures from a common language into Latin? Why did they do that?
Common man.
Huh?
Keep it away from the common man.
To keep the scriptures, the Word of God, away from the common man. Latin was the educated language. If you go back And 300 and something A.D., if you go back down to that period of time when he first translated, he wasn't canonized yet, so-called. What is Koine Greek? What does Koine Greek mean? The common language of the whole world. The scriptures were given to us in Koine Greek. They were given to us in that language because that is the most perfect language that man has ever spoken or written in history. Up until that period of time, for 600 years, if you got a doctor's or a master's degree, guess what you had to write your master's and doctor's theses in? Greek. You can find, by the way, it's not real hard to find those old master's and doctor's degrees. They've gone 1,000, 2,000 years old in Greek. After about 400, 500 A.D., they were all written in what language? Latin, because that was the educated language. And guess what caused the Dark Ages? That very thing. That's what caused the Dark Ages. Mankind, when they did not have the Word of God, guess what happened to mankind? You couldn't own the Scripture in Greek and Hebrew. You were killed if you were found. You couldn't preach in Greek and Hebrew. You were killed. The Scriptures are what makes up all the doctrines whereby we know God and whereby we know how to deal with ourselves. Well, during this period of time, the Latin Vulgate, they changed a lot of words from Greek into Latin. And then when they translated Textus Stephanus, or Stephen's text, they didn't go from Greek and translate Stephen's text. They went from Latin. So we have Greek to Latin to Greek. Again, well, they lost some words in the meanwhile in the translations. And what Paul said here didn't get straightened out for about another 1,000 years. Well, not that long, hundreds of years. When they really started studying scientifically the old manuscript and started comparing them to Textus Receptus, or Stephen's text and the Latin Vulgate. And they found out the old manuscripts had different words there. And actually, after they had translated them into Latin and then back into Greek again, and they got the wrong meaning, there was some real scrambled up things. And we're going to study some of that right now, tonight. Let's go to Mark. Put verses 6 and 7 together. They shouldn't be a separate verse because they're all one verse. Mm-hmm. All right? It's all about one thing, one subject, and it shouldn't be separated. Because you can't separate it. If you separate it, then you've got problems. Because you can't understand what it's talking about. So we're going to run verse 6 and 7 and 8 are just going to be one verse, okay? We're going to look at it like that one continuation, all right? Ude. Say tone taste.
Say tone taste.
X. Anthropon.
Anthropon.
Doxion.
Doxion.
Ude.
Ude.
Off. Himon,
Ute,
Alone. Now, it doesn't quit there. You just have to keep on going. We're going to stop at the end of this, but we're going to go there, and we have to take this thought into the next verse, or you cannot understand this verse. Okay? It shouldn't have been separated. Nor are neither seeking from men out of mankind glory. He said, we didn't seek glory. Paul, one time, was a very glorious human being in Judaism, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he was a little short guy, but he was a giant among Jews. But God struck him down on the road to Damascus. Struck him down and got his attention and put him on the correct road. He said, we didn't seek glory. Paul, at one time, he was standing on the street corners and praying. You know why he did that? So people could see him pray. That's right. He wanted to stand out there. You just look. Jesus gave an example of what he was, the Pharisee. The Pharisee stood on the street and said, oh, I thank God I'm not like other men. He said that before everybody could hear it. He'd stand out on the street. He was like a street preacher. Except there were street prayers because they wanted everybody to know how good they were. Thank God I'm not like every other man, like this low life over here. Which one did Jesus say was heard? God heard. How far did that Pharisee's prayer get?
Your mom's got a problem.
She always does.
I'll need the Lord.
Which one of them did God hear? There was a tax collector over there. He was a rascal, you know. I mean, tax collectors are bad people today. They're bad back then. Kind of like a lawyer. The lowest form of human life. Just crawling, slithering along. Bad stuff, bad people. Well, this tax collector, he's probably a lawyer too. He said, oh, beat his chest. He said, oh, he wouldn't even look up to God. Oh, God, forgive me. He was a sinner. You know something? You don't tell somebody how wonderful and everything they are. I went to church, and I've got sermons where they call people lowlifes from the pulpit. And said, you people come on down here and repent of your sins, you rascals. You people laying out last Saturday night, last Sunday morning because you was hungover. I was chasing around some gambling casino or something last week. They just started talking about things like that. Drunkards. Whoremongers. And loose women. And they come down there, and when they gave an invitation, come on down and mourn over your sins because they're taking you to hell. Now they say, come make a decision. Sounds a lot better, doesn't it? They just say, come down and mourn because of your sin. Mourn because of your sin. We all mourn because of our sins. That's the kind of preacher Paul was. He's one of the mourning preachers. He said, I haven't sought glory from you, nor from others. Nobody. I didn't seek anything from you, and I didn't seek this glory from you, and I didn't seek it from anybody else. 2 and verse 7, which is the same verse. And it starts off with a participle because the participle relates to the rest of it. Okay? Dunamonoi.
Dunamonoi,
I should have said. I Germanized that word. Dunamonoi. In. Bare.
Ne.
Hos. Christu.
Apostoloi.
Alla.
Agenethemen.
Apioi.
In.
Meso. Pos. Eon. Propes. Propos. Salpe. Ha. Eotes. Techno. Now let's go back and look at this one. He continues talking. This is part of that verse there. He said, I didn't seek glory from you nor from anybody else. And then he says, being able in weight to be as of Christ's apostles. Being able. Dina Minoi. This is where our word dunamis comes from, or dinamis. And this is where the word dynamite comes from. I am powerful enough. I'm a heavyweight. That's what it says here. Being able in weight. That word weight, bare. Bare. Being able in weight to be. He's a heavyweight. He said, I am a man of much weight. In the old world, kings, if they were good kings, their subjects sometimes would put them on the scale. Remember that? And they would put them on a scale, and then on the other side of that scale, what would they put over there?
Gold.
They were worth their weight in gold. Now Paul says, I'm a heavyweight. Even though he was a lightweight, he's a small guy. He said, I'm a heavyweight. He said, I have weight among mankind. Because why? What special calling did Paul have? What's the first gift placed in the churches?
Apostles.
Because he was an apostle. Paul was an apostle. How many apostles were there? A lot of church members.
12 plus 1.
12
minus 1.
Yeah. Well, a minus 1, and then he got replaced with this guy, really. The Lord replaced him. Here we have actually 13 apostles in all. That's all the apostles ever were. No more apostles. And what did a lot of the apostles do? They wrote church letters. They wrote the New Testament. And by the way, this was writing this one. This guy's writing the Bible. This is the Word of God, inspired of God, and here it is right in our hands today. Was he a heavyweight? Oh, yeah. Paul was a heavyweight. Paul could have exacted. He said, you give me money. But Paul didn't want to be looked upon as a con, not as a street preacher, not as some a scam artist. In wait to be as a Christ, belonging to Christ, apostles. He said, I'm one of the apostles. I could ask you. He says, but all of strong adversity conjunct in there, all of, we were caused to become. That word comes from Gittimai, which means what? That's equivalent. What's the Hebrew word for that? Gittimai. Or Genito. What's the Hebrew word for that?
For Genito?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you sing to Jehovah.
Well, it's the root of
Yahweh.
Haggah. All right, that's where it became. And verse Genesis 1 and 2, and the earth she became formless and void. And it says we were caused to become here. We were caused to become. And then here is the word here. Now, they have, the Latin Vulgate has napioi. Napioi. What is a napioi? What's a napioi? You might even remember what that is. How many of you remember what a napios is?
I don't know what.
Huh? It's not down there. I'm just telling you what that Latin Vulgate is. What's napios? That's a speechless baby. That's newborn. Speechless baby. Well, that's what the Latin Vulgate uses. Well, does that really make any sense? Not really. He wasn't a speechless baby among them. But that's what it says. It uses the word apioi. This word apioi, now he's talking about himself and the missionaries that came into Thessalonica, okay? Himself and the other missionaries that came in there. These people were gentle, harmless, okay? Gentle and harmless, gentle among you. We were gentle among you. Do you have any of your translations, if you're looking at one of those interlinears, does it have an APOS on there? Okay. In Texas 7, it says APOS. All right. So now we got that correct. Not only got the sentences together, we got some words here straightened out. And we're going to see some more. We became gentle to you. Gentle ones. And then it says in meso. What do you think meso means? The middle. That's a very good one. See, right in the middle, right in the midst of ye. All right, Mesopotamia, the land between the rivers. As if. Now, that word as there, that's a little old particle and sometimes used as an adverb. Okay? As holds, if. Now, this if here, this is a conditional. Conditional. It's an if in Greek, but there's four kinds of ifs in Greek. And this is the first class of ifs. Remember what that one is, folks?
Since.
It means condition determined as fulfilled. There's no if in it. Not in this conditional. No ifs in this if. Not in Greek. Greek is beautiful language. It has got everything separated and put in compartments. So, not since. Since we weren't bad, since we were gentle, since we didn't try to glory, it says that we were trophos. What's the word trophos mean? All right? Trophos. What? A nursing mother. That's what it means. A nursing mother.
a mother that is cherishing and nursing her own little child. Nourishing and cherishing her own little child, nursing that child. Okay? And then we have the word thalpe. Now the word thalpe literally means to keep warm. That's what it means. To keep warm. And it says that she might cherish or he might cherish. But if it's talking about the nurse, the nursing mother, that she might cherish or to keep warm. Now, a mother hen will absolutely give her life for her baby chickens. Did you know that? She is, if anything in danger comes out there, she's going to throw her wings out and she's going to stand between her, that danger, and those baby chickens. She's not going to allow anything to touch them. She will give her life for them. I remember a story about a mother hen. This farmer's place caught on fire. And he went out there and everything burned up. And he went out there just in outside the barn there. Everything, the corrals and everything had burned. And he saw this hen laying there on the ground. With what was left of her charred wings and everything else. She was just dead. But he heard something peeping. And he kicked her like that, and underneath her were some of her little baby chickens still alive. She had burned up and protected those baby chickens. She gave her life for them. She gave her life. That's what Paul's saying here. He said, I acted to you. He said, I was gentle to you. The word gentle. Then he describes himself as a mother nursing her suffering children. And then he says, and I tried to keep you warm like a mother of the children would. Ta eotos. The mother of the children. The word ta there, you have to put the word mother in the middle of it because that's understood. Because we're talking about a mother taking care of her children, keeping her children warm. And I'm going to tell you something else also. This happened among Native American people so much. A mother holds her child close to her. And the child's body temperature will be almost exactly like the mother's, I mean within a tenth. Did you know that? The nursing mother and the child's body temperatures will be almost exactly alike because they're close to each other. That word thalpe, that's what it's talking about there. The closeness of love. The closeness of love. And among Native American people, how many of you ever had a child that had terrible high fever? I had to deal with Dakota just yesterday. You know one of the best ways to get their fever down?
Water.
They come in water, all right. But take the little clothes off and hold them next to you. And your body will cool them off and bring their temperature down. Hold them close to you. That's the word thalpe right there. That's the word thalpe. That's the kind of cherish they're talking about here. Beautiful. Isn't this beautiful language? When you dig back into these things, do you see the love that Paul has? He said, I love you like a mother loves her own nursing children. Like she cherishes, I am gentle among you. I am gentle. I won't cause you any harm. I won't take anything from you. I'm not there to get what I can get. I'm there to give you life. Like a mother would for her own children. Her own children. Isn't that beautiful? 2 and verse 8. Still, we've got Texas receptive problem, okay? We're straightening them out. Now, if you'd have had that word speechless baby there, do you know how much sense that speechless baby would have met with the rest of this? He said, I became a speechless baby. It wouldn't have made any sense at all. But he became gentle, like a mother is gentle for her children. Okay? And then, 2 and 8.
Hutos. Homerumene. Himon. Odokimon. Udokumen. Udokumen. Meta. Dune. Himen. U. Monon. To. Yong Leon. Tu. Tiu. Okay. Agape toy. Amen. Ag na theta. Let's look at this verse. Because it's part of the last one still. Alright? In this manner, Paul's talking to this church. In this manner. And then he uses a word that is only used actually very few times. This word, homeromai, or comes from homeromai, in a couple of, this is the only place this is used in the New Testament. But in the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Hebrew Scriptures, in Job 3:21 and Psalm 62 and verse 2, it's used there, and it's a very rare word. And then in secular literature, it was used. And they think that the best way to translate this, and see when you study Liddell and Scott, you can get all this stuff. When you chase these roots and words. All right? This word was used one time in secular that a mother and a father had lost their only son. Okay? And Paul, I believe, read that story because it was back in his very time. And he used this term because it was extremely rare. Paul knew the Septuagint, he knew the Hebrew Scriptures also. But he used this word. This is the sorrow that a mother and father feel for someone that's lost. And they're separated from them. And they so much want to see that person one more time. They so much want to see that person, to hear her voice, to see her face, or his face one more time. And that's what Paul is using here, this term. Beautiful term. It comes from the word memory, by the way. There are several words for memory, but this one here is smer. Longing and sorrowing for your memory. Sorrowing parents over a lost son. Have you? We kept on being pleased, it says here, this is Udo Komen. We kept on being pleased to impart to you, to give something to you. Meta dune. All right? Meta dune. That word is, that means to hand across of you, to give you something. All right.
Donate something,
do that? Yeah. You can get the word donate for that. To give across, to handle to you something. We didn't ask anything of you, but you know what we were giving you? Eternal life. Eternal life. Adam had given them the sentence of death. But we're imparting to you, we're handing over to you, we're depositing with you eternal life. We don't want to take anything from you. We want to give you a gift that you can't find anyplace else in this world. And then it says, not only, we have two adverbs there, u mono, notly, only. That word not, you could really put an L-Y on the end of it because that's an active not. Notly, only. Okay? That didn't make any sense in the English, but it does in Greek. Notly, only the gospel, the euangelion, belonging to God. We not only gave you the gospel. What is the gospel? 1 Corinthians the 15th chapter, first few verses tells us that Jesus Christ came according to the Scriptures. That He lived according to the Scriptures. That He died according to the Scriptures. And that He was raised according to the Scriptures forevermore. That's beautiful. That's the gospel, people.
Anybody tell you they're bringing the gospel to your house and they don't talk about the death, burial, and resurrection of God in flesh, they don't have the gospel. Because that's what Paul took to Thessalonica. And he says that right there. But Allah, strong adversity conjunction, page 15, where you can find that one if you want to look that one up on a little analytical lexicon. And then we have the word chi, and that's a conjunction, or also sometimes a cumulative particle, as in this verse. It's a also. T-O-O, or A-L-S-O, also. Not only did we give you the gospel, did we impart to you the gospel that we gave you this gift, but we gave you our own souls. We deposited our souls with you. Think about that now. When Paul went into Thessalonica, did he risk his life? Yeah, he did. Not only did he risk his life there, but he had to leave because they ran him off, didn't they? Then he went over to the next area, and guess what? When they heard that he was preaching over there and many people were being saved, guess what these Jews did over there? They hired a bunch of ballroom bouncers and thugs and gutter snipes off the streets in the low black alleys to go over there. I mean, they didn't hire the police officers. They hired the thugs to go after them. They incorporated the thugs to go after Paul and the other missionaries. So they deposited with them their lives. And then it says, diote here. That comes from dia and hote. And then he says the word agapetoi. Where did my wife go? Talking about my beloved. Where did my beloved go? Agapetoi. What does that mean? Agapetoi. I tell her so many times I can pay OC, I can pay
this. This is,
I love you.
Yeah, plural.
I love it. It's plural.
But it comes from agapeo.
Agapeo. It comes from agapeo, which means I'll give my life for you. That's what it means. I'll give my life for you. Paul really meant that. These were people that he would give his life for. When the Lord Jesus was talking to Peter out there on the Sea of Galilee, he said, Peter, do you love me? Will you give your life for me? And Peter said, I like you a lot. John. They said again to him, said, Peter, will you give your life for me? Do you love me that much? He said, Lord, that I like you. You don't love me not like that. And then the last time he says, Peter, do you even like me?
I can pay this. Slip out, see what happens.
I looked up there. Agapete was gone. Beloved ones to us, ye were caused to become. Beloved ones to us, ye were caused to become. Before only, in the verse a little bit earlier than that, we had the word himon. That's over there. You all. This one means hinen. That is first person, plural. All right. Pronoun. To us. He was a part of it. He says, beloved ones, ones that we can give our lives to us, ye were caused to become. What caused them to become like this in their life? What caused them to become? The Holy Spirit. They were brothers and sisters in Christ then. Paul established this church here in Thessalonica. He established a church of people that he loved. He loved these people. They were his children. What happened to Paul's real children? He hadn't really had a wife, and he had children, didn't he? Paul did. You never hear him mention them, do you? You know why? Because it didn't happen anymore. They were gone. When Paul was saved, remember I told you he was a man of great glory and a man of much weight in Judaism. When Paul got saved on the way to Damascus, his wife was very unhappy with him. She was a Judaizer, a woman of great renown among the Jews. And his children were star students. You know what happened to him? That mother and those children took out a fake coffin and buried it and said that their father and their husband had died. She divorced him. She buried him. And his children buried him in that false coffin. And to them, Paul did not exist anymore. Paul had earthly children that he loved so much at one time. They wouldn't have anything else ever to do with him in his life. According to history, Paul had himself made a eunuch. He could have got married. He said he could have got married just like Peter did. But he said he didn't want to. He said, I don't want to. He said, that wasn't expedient for me. He said, I wanted to give my whole life to the gospel. He became a eunuch. And God gave him a lot of little children, a lot of sons, a lot of daughters. And he espoused the churches to Christ himself. He said, I don't need more. But you're as a bride adorned for her husband. I present you as a bride adorned for her husband. Because the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ will make up that bride. That beautiful, chaste virgin that the Lord will come back on these days. Do you see what Paul's talking about? Do you see how he changed his life? Do you see how that he could call them agapetoi? How he could say, I love you, I'll give my life for you. Well, thank you tonight for your attention. I hope these verses just bloom in your sight and in your heart. That God, you know, Lord God, you can even study textual criticism as you study it. And just, it just flourishes in your heart when you see the words come to life. Here. Well, there wasn't.
The ones you're talking about Paul.
Oh, there were a lot of different writers about Paul's life. A.P. Robertson, John A. Broadus, just different things that people have put and traditions. The Athanasian, Nicene, Post-Nicene fathers, you'll find a lot of that in those. That they made comments on what, you know, that they saw about Paul's life. You go in those books, you look up Paul, and you go back and chase all those things. And you read all the... There's a lot of stuff. He doesn't say much about the Bible. The Bible doesn't say much about Paul's life. Paul doesn't say much. Matter of fact, he just doesn't say anything about his personal life. I think he wanted to forget it. He wanted to just forget it. It hurt. It was in pain. And he wanted to forget it. But God made it up for him. Didn't he? God made it up for him.
He must have had Stephen on his mind his entire ministry.
Well, they called Timothy, my son in the gospel. My son in the faith. Titus. You see it so much. You see the love of the Father. That's what he said. I was like a sucking, nursing mother to you. I was gentle to you. I would give my life for you. I kept you warm in the gospel. All these words that he used. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful words. Beautiful words. God bless all of you. Brother Jim, would you dismiss us in prayer tonight, brother?
Dear Lord, we